In 2013, 25-year-old Gerald Cotton founded one of the first major players in the cryptocurrency market, Quadriga FinTech Solutions, which acted as a parent company for a couple of subsidiaries. However, Gerald would spend the next several years focusing on his baby, Quadriga CX, a cryptocurrency exchange that acted as a middleman between regulated fiat currencies and digital currencies, such as Bitcoin. Over the next handful of years, Quadriga CX would become the gold standard for Canadian cryptocurrency exchanges. Gerald Cotton himself was a Canadian citizen, and he wanted to see Canada get a jumpstart on the cryptocurrency boom. Through Quadriga, he began installing Bitcoin ATMs throughout Canada, and quickly entered the forefront of the Canadian cryptocurrency market. By 2017, when Bitcoin began to peak in price, Quadriga CX was well positioned to reap the benefits of said market. Due to his business model, which found Jerry taking a small percentage of every crypto transaction, he essentially became an overnight millionaire. Personally, Jerry began investing in multiple rental properties alongside his longtime friend and now wife, Jennifer Robertson. And for a time, the two seemed to be enjoying the good life. Jerry bought an expensive yacht, which he nicknamed the Gulliver, and the two even owned a private plane, which Jerry never quite learned how to fly himself. He just enjoyed having it. It was not unusual for Jerry to carry around tens of thousands of dollars in cash, and in his signed will, he even created a $100,000 trust fund for his and Jennifer's two pet chihuahuas, Nitro and Gully. However, in December of 2018, while traveling through India on a honeymoon with his wife, 30-year-old Gerald Cotton passed away due to complications from Crohn's disease, which had been plaguing him for the better part of 6 years. About the length of time he had dedicated to founding Quadriga, he left behind numerous homes, rental properties, a yacht, a plane, and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but also a complicated mess when it came to Quadriga. You see, it turned out that Gerald had been operating Quadriga CX entirely through his laptop, and left behind no kind of accounting system whatsoever. The entire business, which included billions of dollars in cryptocurrency exchanges and more than $100 million supposedly held in crypto cold storage, had basically been operated through him, just one man, no other employees. Without Jerry, it was impossible for anyone to cash out, or even confirm that the money invested in Quadriga actually existed. For a man that left behind an intricate will, which had been signed just days before his death, this oversight seemed glaring and alarming in retrospect. When I originally covered this story in April of this year, 2019, it was unknown where Quadriga's money had gone, and multiple questions had been raised about the validity of Gerald Cotton's untimely death. Conspiracy theorists on social media sites such as Reddit and Twitter speculated that the cryptocurrency mogul had faked his death while traveling abroad, and used the anonymous nature of his own cryptocurrency exchange to launder his clients' money. Others believe that his death was legitimate, but the total absence of any Quadriga cold storage accounts indicates widespread fraud over a period of years. Nonetheless, the money was just gone. In the months since I originally covered this story, we have learned a bit more about Gerald Cotton and the mysteries surrounding his company and his death, but many questions still remain. I'll try to catch you up on the story that's unfolded in the months since on today's episode, which is day one of my new holiday-themed series, The 12 Days of Updates. When I originally covered the Quadriga scandal back in April, the story ended with an air of uncertainty. At that point in time, the world had known about Gerald Cotton's death for just a couple of months, with the announcement of his December death being made more than a month later on January 14th. Up until that point, Quadriga had still been functioning as if nothing had happened, as if the founder and person with the sole knowledge of the company's inner workings had not been gone for several weeks. More than 76,000 people still had money, either fiat or digital currency, invested in Quadriga CX at the time, and the company would shut its digital doors just later that month, in January of 2019. Several million dollars was still being held in Quadriga's hot wallets, meaning that at least some investors could get paid out. But that amount paled in comparison to the roughly $200 million that was still missing. This meant that whatever happened, a lot of people stood to lose a lot of money, and a financial monitor was appointed by a Canadian court to oversee the investigation into Quadriga's fallout. What would follow would be several months of speculation, much of which I detailed in the original episode. However, we have learned a lot more about Gerald Cotton in the months since, and not much paints the deceased founder of Quadriga in a flattering light. It turns out that Jerry was no stranger to online schemes. Dating back to 2003, when he was just 15 years old, he had been engaged in online investment schemes alongside Michael Patron, the Quadriga CX co-founder, who, if you'll recall, may or may not be convicted felon Omar Dinani, who in 2005 was sentenced to more than 18 months in prison for burglary and grand theft charges relating to his quote-unquote electronic money laundering service, as defined by the Secret Service. The two had no formal history together until 2013, when Patron had helped Gerald set up Quadriga and would remain an advisor until the company shuttered following Gerald's death. But online skeptics found correspondence between the two dating back to 2003. That was when the teenage Jerry and 21-year-old Michael Patron had done their best to validate each other's online scams, which were both basically Ponzi schemes, and as reported by Vanity Fair reporter Nathaniel Rich, could be classified as quote-unquote minor fraud. As if that wasn't enough, it has come to light that while operating Quadriga, Jerry continued on with his fraudulent ways. He had submitted hundreds of thousands of fraudulent transactions through Quadriga, even using the aliases R2D2 and C3PO for some. And many of these had been made to cryptocurrency exchanges outside of his own company, or to private accounts operated by himself and his wife, Jennifer. For 3 out of the 4 years prior to his death, he had not filed any personal tax filings. But in the 1 year that he had, 2016, he claimed to have made no income through the cryptocurrency exchange, despite him having purchased a private plane and a yacht with the proceeds. This was the kind of life that Gerald Cotton lived, and after his death, it became apparent that the man had several secrets he had been trying to hide. While alive, Gerald Cotton had told his family and friends about multiple fail-safes he had in place should he ever pass away. This included a safety deposit box, as well as a physical safe in the attic of his house, which supposedly held the passwords for his Quadriga cold storage accounts. Well, in the same Vanity Fair article I mentioned just a moment ago, which was published just a few weeks ago, it was pointed out that a safe had been bolted down inside of Gerald's attic, but following his death, that safe was now missing. Whatever had happened to it remains a mystery, as does what it once held inside. Same goes for the mysterious safety deposit box, which has never been identified or accounted for. Jerry's widow, Jennifer Robertson, agreed to a settlement in October of 2019, in which she agreed to return roughly $12 million of assets, including cash and rental properties, which she had tried to file ownership of following Jerry's death. She was allowed to keep roughly $100,000 in cash and funds in a retirement plan, a 2015 Jeep Cherokee, her wedding ring, and some shares in Quadriga as well as some personal belongings. The rest was being returned to the Quadriga estate, as its tens of thousands of customers continued to try and recoup their losses. Just a couple of months after I published my original episode about Quadriga, the FBI announced that they had officially launched an investigation into the crypto exchange and its founder, Gerald Cotton. It would later be revealed that the FBI had been investigating the matter since March of 2019, alongside the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and at least two other federal law enforcement agencies that remain unnamed. but are believed to include an investigative body from Japan. It is unknown what these investigative agencies have discovered in the months since, but we do know that this last summer, they began reaching out to victims, asking them to fill out a questionnaire that detailed their involvement and investments in Quadriga. Some were even contacted for follow-up interviews, as federal investigators tried to learn more about the company's inner workings, and even asking numerous investors whether or not they believed Gerald Cotton was still alive. It seems like, for better or worse, federal agents have yet to fully disregard the conspiracy theories about Jerry faking his own death. These conspiracy theories have only escalated over the past week or two, as lawyers for many of Quadriga's disgruntled customers and investors are now petitioning for Gerald's body to be exhumed. You see, the odd circumstances surrounding his death have always remained a point of contention for these individuals, and they want legal permission to have Jerry's body dug up to confirm that the remains are his. Miller Thompson LLP, the law firm representing these clients, wrote to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and requested that they, quote, conduct an exhumation and postmortem autopsy on the body of Gerald Cotton to confirm both its identity and the cause of death, given the questionable circumstances surrounding Mr. Cotton's death and the significant losses of affected users, unquote. In the letter, the law firm requests that this matter be settled by the spring of 2020, given, quote-unquote, decomposition concerns. Unfortunately, not much more information is known at this time, but rest assured that this incredibly bizarre story will continue to churn out updates over the next several weeks and/or months. And, as always, I will do my best to keep you up to date. Until then, though, this story will remain unresolved. Thank you for listening to this brief update episode of Unresolved. I'm going to try and keep things brief here, but as I mentioned at the top of the episode, I'm going to be doing a little holiday-themed housekeeping in the form of update episodes. I'm calling it the 12 Days of Updates, and while it's not going to exactly correlate with Christmas, I'm going to spend the better part of the next 2 weeks refreshing us on some stories that I've previously covered. Some stories have a lot of new information, so it'll be interesting to go through them all and see what we've learned in the time since I originally covered them. I figure this will be a nice way to bridge the gap until the next episode of Unresolved, which should be coming out the first weekend of January. But the next update episode will be out tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, please take care of yourself, and hope you have a happy holiday.